This is a forum on patriotism. We call it the Many Faces of Patriotism because we're going to hear voices from many different parts of the world tonight about what allegiance to country means, where they come from. And that's what we want to talk about in this forum. It's been a long day, I feel. I think it seems like this day's been going on forever. It started very early. And so if people begin to doze off, we'll understand. Up here, some of us may begin to doze off. If you don't have the energy to go the full hour, that's understandable too. On the other hand, if you want to go beyond an hour, we can do that. We'll see how it goes. But it is July 4th, 1989 at Holden Village, and we'd like to talk about what it means to love one's country at the same time that one has an allegiance to one's God. How do we put together the relationship to country and God? And so we've asked five people who are in the village this summer, I think all on volunteer staff, to share with us for a few minutes what each of them understands love of country to mean, where they come from, or to him or her personally. And we have them in this order, and I'm going to ask each of them to say a bit about what they are doing in the village, why they are here, and what brought them to Holden Village from their various places around the globe. Juliet Sternberg from England is on the far right, on my far right. Christoph Weber from the German Democratic Republic is here. Anna Marie Scholtes from the Federal Republic of Germany is there. We've got the two Germanys together, as you'll know. They chose that. Yumiko Hager is here from Japan. And Andrew Sewell from Canada. I'm Chuck Lutz, and I'll moderate and try to keep peace among the nations tonight. So, Juliet, you're on first, and I'll pass the mic over to you and tell us what brought you to Holden and what you're doing here, and then if you would share a little bit about how you understand love of country in Great Britain.
What am I doing here? What brought me here was a need to get out of my country and to experience another country. This seemed like a really good opportunity to meet lots of interesting people and get to know them better. And so far, it's been a very positive experience. I'm working in the kitchen with
Are you
half the people here.
Cooking?
Amongst all the things.
Are you a cook?
Sure.
Yeah,
you're a cook.
I suppose got up early to listen to the Declaration of Independence, I ought to start by apologising for King George's misdeeds. a bit late, but better late than ever. When Chuck asked me to do this, I went to have a look at the dictionary definition of patriotism, and it said in there that it was a person who loves, supports, and defends his or her country and its interests with devotion. Well, if that's the definition, then I'm not sure that I know of anybody who could really call themselves patriotic. There seems to be a difference between patriotism in a cultural sense and patriotism in a political sense. And we might love our country from a cultural point of view in that it's what we know and what we've grown up with. But because we disagree with the country's government, that can really colour how we feel about our country. I think we see the Americans as being very patriotic, much more so than we are. I think we don't have a national day, for example, to celebrate, and I think that's a valuable gift that you have to bring you together. Your flag seems to be very much more important to you than ours is. I mean, it's in all sorts of public places in America, whereas in Britain, it's on a few town halls and churches, and that's about it. So I wouldn't say that we're a particularly patriotic country. Not to the same level, anyway. It seems that wars bring people together, or really make them think seriously about how they feel about their country. And my only real experience of war has been the Falklands War. And I've never voted for Thatcher's government or supported her in any way, but I still defend her actions over the Falklands, interestingly. I don't see what alternative she had. So that has been the only time that I've really felt strong patriotism. And talking to people here who've experienced Vietnam and the Second World War, that seems to have really affected them quite deeply, and made them feel perhaps more patriotic to their country than people of my own age who haven't experienced those things.
Very good. Thank you. Christoph Weber from the German Democratic Republic. What brought you to Holden and what are you doing here?
What brought me here? Curiosity. Quite a few people recommended Holden, so I thought I should try it.
People in your country or people in St. Paul?
People in St. Paul, Minneapolis, or even Greater Minnesota.
Greater Minnesota.
Greater Minnesota.
Tell the folks what you've been doing this past school year.
I was for the last school year at Lutheran Northwestern Seminary in St. Paul as an international student. And as far as I know, the first one among Lutherans who came as a student, not teaching, but being a student, which is somewhat a new step.
From your country?
From our country, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, patriotism. For me, it is a word I have a hard time to deal with. Who deserves my patriotism? The state or the nation? My citizenship is GDR, German Democratic Republic, which separates me from West Germans and all other people. Nevertheless, my nationality is German, which unites me with West Germans. Mm-hmm. And also because of this German nationality, I'm considered as a citizen of West Germany by West German definition. Well, state or nation to whom I'm supposed to be patriotic. Mm. Secondly, Germany began two wars in this century, which turned out as World War I and World War II. And I'm asking how many of my German fellows fought these wars out of patriotism for their nation. To kill and murder was okay because it is done out of patriotism. The terrible misuse causes problems for me to use and to deal with this word. Or you may remember the still West German hymn or the song, Germany, Germany above all.
Deutschland, Deutschland über alles.
A romantic song, terribly misused.
Great melody.
But terribly great misused.
Tune. Yeah.
A third point on the negative side, I would say, I'm not patriotic because my parents and I said no to some of the things which are considered one does in the GDR. For instance, I didn't join the children's and the youth organization, which will help you to become this good patriotic citizen. And unpatriotic as I am, I choose not to serve my compulsory military service as regular soldier, but as conscientious objector. No gun. Mm. And we hear just the definition with defense of the country. I got this question too by the military officers and said, no, that's not my option. I'm not willing to do it. Something positive I have to say. I have some things I appreciate in this country, GDR. Free education, social security, a decent living standard, various freedoms within given boundaries. On the other hand, I know that one needs a deep love for the country in order to engage and to be engaged for some change. Without love, one doesn't care. And I think I have some of this love, I would say, to care for these people. And I experienced it especially being outside the country. It was a surprise for me when I was in England about almost 3 years ago for a short visit. And people talked about East Germany. And at quite a few points I had to say, wait a moment, that's a little different. And I became in the position of defending the GDR. It happened similar since I'm here in the US. Thirdly, I'm thinking of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his kind of patriotism. He left the security in the US to return to Germany before the war even, because he thought that he wouldn't deserve to build up a new and better Germany without being there in the time of trouble. And his engagement, you know, was an active fight against the evil, which cost him his life. Two thoughts at the end. Being in a church center in the GDR and hissing the GDR flag, I cannot imagine. And
say that again, being in a church center.
Being in a church center, like Holton Village is some of the church center, and they are hissing the GDR flag on National Day or someday else, I cannot imagine. I would say it doesn't happen, and it wouldn't happen. And a second thought which came to me, especially after the song tonight, how about this on Independence Day? Could it be a day of repentance and from there to interdependence we had last night? Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the American Indians, Afro-Americans and others also be happy on this day.
Thank you. Pass it over to Anna Marie. Anna Marie Schultes from the Federal Republic of Germany.
Yes.
Please also tell us what brought you to Holden and what you are doing here.
First, I got to know about Holden was when I was 16, and I worked in a Lutheran conference center in Great Britain in Hawthorpe Hall. Mm-hmm. And people who had been here had a slideshow, and then I carried the arrows around with me for about 3 or 4 years, and then came here for the first time in 78. And since then, I came here on and off about 5 times. And I'm working lawns and gardens now, and fighting against the conspiracy of the deers and the chipmunks.
Yeah. Who's winning?
I have to find out in the next 2 weeks before I leave. I brought up some thoughts, and Chuck Lutz asked me to talk about citizenship and patriotism, and I made it up to, am I proud to be a German? Mm-hmm. And first I will start to share with you some recent political developments which vitally influenced German consciousness. I left Germany shortly after Gorbachev's visit in West Germany's capital, Bonn. And by the way, Gorbachev's popularity rating among the West German voters is considerably higher than Chancellor Kohl's, and that is the most important person in Germany. Mm. So
higher than George Bush's, too.
Right. The most concrete accomplishment of the visit was a declaration committing both countries to, and that is a quotation, overcome the divisions of Europe and sharing, quotation again, a common European home. In fact, maybe in 1992 will be ringing in the ears of Western European school children just as 1776 rings for US youth. There might be the United States of Europe. That means at least an economic unification when the 356 million people of the 12 member countries of the European market, the EC, will become a single economic bloc with Germany as the most powerful economic country. Now, these are the good parts. Germany is heading towards an international goal and is prospering economically. But when Chuck asked me to talk about am I proud to be a German, to tell you the truth, my feelings were a bit ambiguous. I was very hesitant. And I asked myself whether I can be proud on a nation which initiated two wars, though I was not part of it, and can there be a solid self-esteem after Auschwitz? Mm-hmm. Have we at least learned from the Holocaust, considering that the Russians offered in 1952 to agree to a reunification with the only precondition that we kept the territory neutral? No, the then political representatives and the United States, the actual winners of the war, did not agree with that. And so we joined the NATO and in 1955. And once we entered the NATO, this military pact, we were very dependent on the Americans. And so we also couldn't say no when the Americans decided to base the cruise missiles in Germany. And also, did we deal with the injustice we did to the Jews, to Israel, in an appropriate manner, I asked myself. And I come to the conclusion that we did not, because we paid money to Israel, and Israel bought the weapons in order to fight the Palestinians. And so these are just a few aspects which make me really hesitant to be proud of Germany. And finally, how can I be proud as a woman to be German in a still mostly male-dominated world? Not world, but also male-dominated Germany. I remember Virginia Woolf writing that as a woman I don't need a city and I don't need a country. As a woman, the whole world is my country. And the last concluding words, maybe, my vision is that extensive traveling makes boundaries unnecessary, and that learning languages will make everybody feel at home anywhere in the world.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yumiko.
Okay.
How did you come to Holden, and what are you doing here?
How did I come to the States?
All right.
Because I met an American missionary in Japan, and I got married with him,
mm-hmm.
and decided, we agreed that we are going to live in the States at least for 3 years in the States,
mm-hmm.
and so right after we got married and went to honeymoon and spent 2 weeks in Japan packing and came here.
So you recently arrived in the States?
Yeah, since it's been 2 months,
two months
since I came here to the States.
Mm-hmm.
It's my first stay. here too.
Can you hear up there?
It's been 1 month.
One month.
Mm-hmm. Staying in at Holden. And I'm working in the kitchen, helping cooks.
Okay. Very good. Well, tell us a little bit of how the question of patriotism looks in Japan.
Okay. I wrote down a note. Since I came here to the States, I have been realizing more and more that I love Japan. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I can look at my home country objectively from the outside. And some of you might understand Generally, people in Japan are very proud of being Japanese. I think it's because people share cultural and historical values with each other. Japanese people respect humbleness, humility, endurance, willingness to give up personal happiness, selflessness, appreciation for subtlety, and craftsmanship. Some of you might understand Japanese patriotism from the words like kamikaze or harakiri used in World War II.
Kamikaze. And what was the other one?
Maybe harakiri.
Harakiri.
Harakiri. Japanese in those days gave their lives out of love for the country. Maybe out of love for the emperor in those days, because some of people worshipped emperor like as God. Mm-hmm. Japanese, of like Japanese kind of legend, kind of story, mm-hmm. ancient story, mm-hmm. Which has a story of the birth of country Japan, which was made by God, and God came to the earth, God became a human being, mm-hmm. and that God is the ancestor of the emperor, empress, imperial family, mm-hmm. of Japan. Some of the Japanese people just believe that. So in
to this day, some to this mm-hmm, day.
Mm-hmm. So some of those people just say, if you are Japanese or if you love Japan, you have to believe or you have to worship emperor as God. Some people just say so, but I don't think young people would agree with those ideas.
Yes.
Doesn't make sense at all. So, but now the same spirit, like love of Japan, is expressed in dedication to family and company.
Family and company.
Mm-hmm. They work hard, they work hard for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies encourage employees to think the company itself as a family, kind of in the same boat, kind of feeling, which made Japan very successful.
Yes, we've noticed.
And in some ways, Japanese people see the nation as an extension of their family. I don't think Japan wants to control other countries through military power as in World War II now. Japanese had been trying so hard to catch up with the West, but now people in Japan have begun to learn to appreciate Japan as it is. So I think in terms of cultural and historical sense, Japanese people were very patriotic,
mm-hmm.
but not in terms of political sense.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of you know about Japanese political situation right now. It's been very bad, so I myself is not a patriot if it comes to the political thing.
Support of current policies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Similar to what Juliet was saying.
Yeah.
But deeply patriotic about the Japanese culture, mm-hmm. and people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
That's all.
That it? Thank you. Thank you very much. Andrew Sewell comes from Canada, and not far away, he was telling me, Victoria is where he currently lives. Tell us again how you came to Holden and what you're doing here, and then tell us about how the question of patriotism looks to a Canadian.
Well, I came down because I had been here last year, and I'm a philosophy student at the University of Victoria. Heard about Holden through Lutheran campus ministry. I wasn't actually involved, but I had friends that were involved and had been down.
Are you also in the kitchen?
Yeah, I'm a real cook.
You're a real cook.
Tell them about the cookies.
Yeah, Dan made these cookies and he's really bad. Patriotism is kind of a weird thing in a country that has a quarter of the population of the U.S. and shares a really huge border with the U.S. because many of you who have probably been to Canada realize that our economy is really closely tied to yours. A lot of our cultural input comes from the U.S., if not in originality, then in terms of recognition. For instance, when a Canadian artist is getting known, they need to go to the U.S. to get recognition before they are recognized in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Musicians especially, often authors. Yumiko and I don't know your name.
Christoph.
We're talking about cultural patriotism. I think in Canada that doesn't really exist. In fact, there's a little bit of animosity towards cultural groups that feel a lot of cultural patriotism that immigrate and tend to preserve their own culture really strongly.
Other national groups, you mean, that emigrate to Canada?
Yeah.
And maintain their Ukrainian-ness or whatever.
Right. There's a little bit of animosity towards groups like that because I think a lot of North Americans, not just Canadians, see that as a where a lot of conflict starts, possibly where World War conflict began. Also, it wouldn't really work to feel too much cultural patriotism in a country that is very young and made up of immigrants from all over the world. You to speak of being Canadian is, I mean, you can't be ninth generation Canadian. So, for instance, my parents, actually I was born in the States. My parents came up during the late 60s with a bumper sticker that said, America, love it or leave it.
During the Vietnam War?
Yeah.
Was it related to the Vietnam War?
Yeah. I think my dad was a Spanish prof and was pretty frustrated with facing the dilemma of passing students or having them drafted. But aside from cultural patriotism, national patriotism, like Juliet was saying, I think is in countries, this is how I perceive it, in countries outside the U.S., with the possible exception of the U.S., patriotism is something that is normally only really felt when there's a conflict and people have to take sides. And then, because Canada is so multicultural, I think even then, there's not a lot of Canadian patriotism. Usually, people will sort of identify with where they're from, or maybe even look at the issue rationally and take sides. Just on a sort of general scale, patriotism, I think, hits an all-time low in Canada. It's kind of laughable, actually, that perhaps the most energetically patriotic people in Canada are people from the U.S. Often, it's true.
You mean newcomers to Canada, from the States,
right?
Who want to identify strongly as Canadians?
As Canadians, yeah.
And the rest of you kind of giggle at that.
Well, it is kind of funny that our prime minister used to be the head of an American corporation. So, I mean, I think Canadians see American patriotism as bad. Mm-hmm.
Bad for the world?
Yeah, especially bad for conflict in Central America and the Middle East. Because it doesn't really seem to the Canadians that I identify with that Americans have a tradition that's old enough to be particularly patriotic about in a cultural sense. Mm-hmm. Like perhaps the Japanese or the Chinese. I can sort of understand that patriotism to culture that is so ancient. But I don't think most Canadians feel that, and I think Canadians kind of think that Americans that are extremely patriotic to the flag are kind of fooling themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm really enlightening anyone about Canadian patriotism. It's kind of an oxymoron as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we're getting the sense that it's different.
Yeah.
Canada is different from the States. And not all U.S. residents understand that.
Yeah, that's
and
one of the most
troubles Canadians.
I think. Frustrating things is that when you come to the U.S., Americans show their patriotism by being largely ignorant of any basic geography except Chuck here. any basic political facts like the name of the head of our country.
Brian Mulroney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they usually assume, or a lot of them do, that Canadians are just Americans that live north of the border.
Yeah. Okay, thanks to all of you again. And I would invite for the next few minutes that we have. If any of you have specific questions you'd like to address to any one of the panel, let's do that first. If you want more elaboration on some point that was made or something for clarification.
Anyone wish to do that?
Just concerning Maria and Christoph, concerning German patriotism to culture, and having someone here, I think, from both East and West Germany, is quite a Poland. Does German patriotism take the form of a wish for reunification? Or do Germans feel a sense of cultural identity which East Germans and West Germans would share in a German cultural sense, like a Goethe and so forth, that might someday, or would be the driving force behind a desire for reunification among both Germans?
I think, above all, the reunification is still part of our constitution. That is a fact.
It's a goal stated in your constitution?
Yeah, right.
In the Federal Republic. Mm-hmm. Is it also stated in the constitution?
No.
But
that's dropped in the 50s.
Do you want to express your own position on that, Anne Marie? Do you wish for reunification?
I mean, I have to separate two levels. If I see it realistically, there has been a specific tradition in the East Germany and in West Germany, and they are economically, I mean, separate. They
40 have, and more years now.
Yeah.
And
so
almost
they
a
have
half century.
Their own tradition also now. And so that even language is a little bit different now. And so, I mean, I'm not really thinking that I'm fighting for a reunification, because that would be unrealistic, and I mean, but still some people think I'm a communist if I don't fight for that in Germany.
If you don't fight for reunification.
Yeah. I mean, the conservative part in Germany would think that.
Crystal?
To reunification,
to the same question?
To the question. Of course, we have cultural identity. We speak the same language. We have the same heritage. We are Germans. That's the nation with good and bad history. More in this century, it's too much bad. Which is the youngest things, which, well, for me at least, and many more. I would say for us as East Germans or GDR citizens, we have an identity problem between state and nation. So, hard to say percentage-wise, but there are quite people out who don't identify with the country or the state GDR, but much more identify with being German.
The folk, the German folk, with German people, German culture.
With German culture, and some of them even might think, let's forget about this communism and this state we have and just join to the West. Our view is towards the West. And although we have built up some differences in language and heritage and just tradition, that would be overcome pretty quickly in just opening up, just going West. And there are thousands. It's not just one or two who try to leave the country towards the West.
Yes.
You understand the young man from East Germany, you are studying to be a Lutheran pastor.
Yeah.
Will you return to East Germany as a pastor? What will your reception be? Do they accept you?
Who?
A pastor.
As in the congregation. Or in the church.
So you do have freedom there.
Who? Your question is, when you say, will they accept him?
Who are the they?
Who are
the German
they?
People.
Sure they do. They know me.
But the country, does the country accept Christian preaching over there?
Sure.
About
a third of the population are Christians, I would say. That's a vague figure. And a much lower percentage actually attend worship services? Well, that's a different question. They might feel as somewhat the church attractive, or we have young people, young adults, who haven't been raised in a Christian family at all, now come to the church, come to be baptized as adults. And Christianity was legal for almost 40 years. I mean, we have the 40th anniversary in October. So, and it was legal all the time.
40th anniversary of the GDR.
The statehood.
Yes, this October. Yes.
Okay, Julia. Well, the first one is prefaces. It seems like I often hear a lot of the negative side of American patriotism, but then you said you thought it was nice that Americans have a national day like 4th of July. What about it do you like, other than you get, you know, get a lot of food and not have to work and
get a holiday?
I think it gives you the opportunity, a bit like Christmas gives families the opportunity to forget their differences and get together again. And maybe gives you as a nation the opportunity to get together regardless of political differences and celebrate the fact that you are still one nation, even though you might disagree with each other at times.
Don't you celebrate the signing of the Magna Carta on a specific day?
We don't celebrate, no. The only time we really get together to celebrate as a nation.
Queen's birthday?
Hardly, but yeah, or a royal wedding or something.
That's why you keep royalty, so you have national celebrations. Yes?
I'm curious about something, Christoph and Anne-Marie, and maybe I misunderstood, but I thought you both said that you felt that Germany was responsible for World War I or had initiated World War I. Is that the perception of German people?
Yeah.
Because I really feel that a lot of us shared that, a lot of other countries, not us, I don't claim to be personally responsible, shared the blame for World War I pretty equally around, and that Germany was responsible for initiating it only in the technical sense. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, say you have an identity problem, maybe, that you would also accept the blame for World War I, because really that was such a mass movement in all of Europe that culminated in that war that Germany certainly couldn't be held personally responsible for it.
No, the identity problem I'm talking about is especially for GDR people.
Uh-huh. Oh.
About the last 40 years.
Since World War II.
Since World War II.
But there is the sense in both the Germanies that Germany was responsible for the outbreak of World War I.
Yeah, I think so, because many European nations then had colonies, uh-huh. And Germany wanted to have colonies also, and that was the main reason why they participated in World War I. And so I think we have a big share of guilt or responsibility in World War I.
Yeah, but along with four or five others.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, that's something the others have to take up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say. It's not up to us to say, you will. You will. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a pretty healthy attitude, actually. I like that.
Thanks.
That was very good training.
Yes.
In this country, if you disagree with the government, a lot of times you're accused of being anti-patriotic or un-American. We even institutionalize un-American activities. And is that something the rest of you face if you oppose your government's actions or policies? Does it come to the point where your patriotism is questioned, or are you just thought to be on one side or the other, but you're still a good
lover of country,
a good British citizen, or a good Japanese?
Could I just respond to that?
Yeah.
Our really recent election was over an issue called free trade. The Liberal Party that stood against it used, one of the arguments they used was that our cultural sovereignty was going to be threatened by tying our economy so closely with the U.S. That had overtones of that sort of labeling. That perhaps if the government wanted to become that closely associated with the U.S., that their patriotism wasn't exactly true. That the government in favor won by a landslide, so that kind of says something about how strongly people reacted to that insinuation. I don't think anyone really took it seriously. As I watch the U.S. debates, though, if that kind of insinuation would have been made, that would have been picked up on really quickly. If one candidate were to label the other, as I think they did, patriotic.
It seems to work differently here. If I hear you correctly, Andrew, you're saying the argument that one is un-Canadian doesn't work in Canadian politics.
No.
It doesn't get you votes.
No.
But in the United States, it does seem to work.
Yeah.
That's how you
I don't remember who the candidates were, but I remember one debate, American debate, in which I seem to remember one candidate saying that the other candidate was unpatriotic.
Ring any bells? It worked.
Well, this last election, 88?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And the flag even got involved, as you may recall.
Yeah. No, but that didn't really... I mean, I think our cultural sovereignty was at stake with that issue. And the argument that it was at stake, which involved our patriotism, I think, didn't really seem to stir up any dust. So.
Didn't attract voters.
No.
Anyone else want to respond to that?
Yes.
Yumiko.
As I mentioned before, some people think, some Japanese people think emperor worshippers are the Japanese patriots. I think it's because of the, for instance, mayor of Hiroshima, mm-hmm. he made some kind of statement in public that the emperor of Showa period, he said emperor has very much responsibility for the World War II. And so many people just wrote or made a telephone call to him that he's not a Japanese. I mean,
he's not a true Japanese.
True Japanese.
If he would say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they thought he blamed the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
But other people just said, well, it's the truth. So, and emperor has got so much responsibility. So, it was good for him to say that in public. So, it's been pretty, related very much with the Japanese traditional religion,
mm-hmm.
The thinking.
Yes.
And actually, my father's side grandfather used to be that religion's priest, and
Is that Shinto?
Yes,
Shinto.
Shinto priest, and he He has got some kind of newspaper distributed
yes.
by the Shinto, some kind of organization, and which says which is very kind of, how do you say, nationalist newspaper.
Yes.
So you have to think the emperor as God. You have to worship God because he is the descendant mm-hmm. of the God
yes.
of Japanese
yes.
God. So it's kind of how do you say? Some people think just if you worship or if you worship or respect emperor, you are the Japanese.
Yes, and if you don't, then you're less Japanese. You're somehow not true Japanese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter to cultural things
right.
at all.
Well, maybe we can go into a few minutes of discussion more generally about how people in the group understand patriotism. I'm particularly interested in this question that was raised about this matter that was raised about, can one be a patriot and disagree with one's government's policies? I certainly hope so. If to be a patriot is a good thing. There are many in the history of the United States, at least, who have spoken strongly in support of that approach, that the those who are civilly disobedient or those who refuse even at the point of facing a jail sentence to go along with the government policy are exhibiting supreme patriotism. I think as early as the Mexican War, that was said by people like Thoreau and others. And it came up again during the Vietnam period here quite a bit when we had a great national debate in the United States over whether the true patriots were the ones who went and served when they were called in Southeast Asia or the ones who said no to serving. And I guess I would conclude that there were patriots on both sides and people were following their own conscience. But some of those folks landed in Canada, and many Americans thought they were traitorous, but many other Americans thought they were following the highest calling of patriotism, of love of country, in refusing to do what they felt was wrong. So that's my little homily. Let's see where you are on that question, or any other question related to allegiance to country. We haven't said anything yet tonight directly about the conflict that may come between allegiance to country and allegiance to God. Anybody want to pick up on that?
I'd like to pick up on Anna Marie's comment about Virginia Woolf. I mean, I think that whole idea of learning other languages and visiting other countries is probably one of the healthiest things that people can do to bring about a healthy world. 4 years ago today, I came back from 2 weeks in the Soviet Union, and I found myself thinking that if all the money that has been spent on defense in this country had been spent giving, literally giving, every American 2 weeks in the Soviet Union, the difference would have been incredible. And you know, I think the more we can do individually and as groups or whatever to become citizens of the world rather than citizens of X country, the better off we're all going to be. And if that's unpatriotic, then, mm-hmm. then I'm unpatriotic.
I think that's what God calls us to do, to have a true perception of the world that he created. Or, excuse me, I think I'm going to say he. And and foster that development so that you do have an appreciation for where you do live. And what you do there is important and affects everyone else.
In a sense, I think patriotism is a certainly a, from a cultural sense, historical sense, something that's very natural and shared by people all over the world. And a lot of it has to do with just simply what's home and familiar. And I know when I come back, I travel a lot in my job, and I love the places I go. But I also have had some experiences where I've been very thankful that I'm an American and I'm lucky enough to live in this country. A lot of those experiences happen when you find yourself in potential situations where you are simply at the mercy of another person, and you know there is absolutely no rule of law that that will protect you at all. I think that's a situation that a few of us should be put in every once in a while, where we have a feeling that someone can take you and throw you in jail and throw away the key and no one will ever be the wiser. It's a sobering thing to have happen to you. But the other thing I've learned from my travels, and it was best said by this wonderful Nigerian author, Chinua Achebe, who said in his latest book, Antlers of the Savannah, that none of us are complete. And I think patriotism or love of country gets to be demonic when we see ourselves enveloped in that flag or enveloped in that patriotism as a complete entity, and we aren't. We need the rest of the world. We need to listen to everyone else. We need to relate to everyone else, because there is that part of that will make us the complete citizen of the world that we all should be.
I have a comment about your statement about feeling safe. I think that lots of people don't feel safe, and they do get picked up off the street and put in jail for no reason in this country. I mean, maybe as a white sort of middle class person,
yes,
maybe we don't experience that. But
right, but I still have the law on my side. I can still make the phone call to the lawyer. You know, I do. Granted, I agree with you totally. I'm a white middle class American woman, and therefore I have certain privileges. But there are some countries where it doesn't matter. There is no one to appeal to. And perhaps if there's anything I'm patriotic about in this country, it's to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, certainly not to the flag. You know, the flag is simply an icon, could be turned into a god. But the Constitution and the rule of law in this country protects me.
I think in theory, but I think in reality too. I've done a lot of law work, and the people that are sometimes blamed or picked up, I mean, they're given some state attorney that doesn't give a hoot. And I mean, of course, they have that opportunity, but the person, the man or woman, whoever is representing them, they don't care. And they're hired by the government, and they could care less if they go to jail. I mean, they're actually looking for someone to put in jail to make people feel at ease. Anyway.
I'd just like to restate something I heard. I know it was somewhere on this side of the chat. That was really enlightening to me, I thought, was can I disagree with this country of mine and still be patriotic? And a person asked me about a week ago whether I thought I was patriotic or not. And I had to say yes. And when I heard it on this side by someone say that in order for me to care, I have to love something first. I have to care enough about it in order
to want to change it.
To want to change it.
I think it was Christoph who said that.
And how often we in the United States, if we do disagree, are thought of as being that red communist whatever.
Un-American.
Un-American. And I think that's pretty enlightening, at least to me, that in order for us to disagree, we have to first care enough to disagree. And it helps a lot.
Thank you. Yes?
We're talking about patriotism as love of our country, but I guess living outside of America for the last 3 years made me realize this isn't an ordinary country we're talking about. You know, this is one of the two superpowers. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what a lot of the world recognizes America as. And maybe another country can get by just taking care of themselves. But we've taken on a position of power in the world. When we elect a president, we're electing an emperor of half the world, you know, in an almost literal sense. And patriotism for our country is very good, but because of the position we've put ourselves in, we have an extra higher responsibility to have a patriotism towards the world. And when we elect a president, how does this affect the rest of the world where America has a lot of influence? And if we don't like that, then we should get out of that sphere of influence. You know, but if we do want to have that power, at least, let's not just think about ourselves. Most people I know who voted for the president, they thought, well, inflation was down and my unemployment was good. You know, and that was the reason they voted for a president. You know, while the rest of the world watched by without a vote. And they were very interested in who was elected.
Yeah.
That's really true.
That's a good point. Yeah. And it's almost always the case that American presidential elections hinge not on foreign policy or our role in the world, but on domestic economic interests. I mean, we vote our pocketbook, almost always. Once in a while there's an exception, but most
a country like Haiti might be able to get by with that.
Yeah.
But we're not that league.
Now you make a good point. Anyone else like to get in? We are at the point of about 60 minutes of tape, and I think we probably should conclude, but I would invite any of you who wish to continue conversation with one or more of the panelists to do that, as long as the panelists are willing to stick around. I want to thank them very much. I think it's been very enlightening for us to hear from people from other parts of the world who know us as United States, because they've lived among us. And we want to thank you for your willingness to share. I know some of you were reluctant to do it, but I'm personally pleased that I was able to prevail on you. The last thing I want to say is I think we have a particular gift in the church, in that if we understand it properly, somebody over here was referring, I think, to that. The church is not a national community. It is a transnational community. It is an international community where national boundaries don't mean much at all. And sometimes Christians forget that and become nationalistic. But I think the church, properly viewed as a community of faith that encompasses people all around the planet, ought to be able to transcend that view of nation as that to which we give our supreme allegiance. We do not give our supreme allegiance to nation, any of us. We give our supreme allegiance, if we are believers, to God. And the church, as a community of humanity, can express that for us if we will let it. And that's what gives me hope when I meet Christians from other parts of the world, that there is a kinship there, a familyhood, that is, in a way, much more important than the familyhood I share with fellow American citizens. So, with that word, let's call the formal part of this off, and those of you who want to stay and discuss a little longer, please feel free to do that. Thanks again to our panel.